We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Kuf Pei Hei, but maybe we'll start the paragraph again on the bottom of Kuf Pei Daled. Chashov na ben Adam ki ata ozev otzar chayim ale birkat Hashem la'ashivecha al avicha shebashamayim. Think, son of man, you're leaving a place that's like a storage filled with life, and you've left the place filled with God's blessing, and you're going back to your Father in heaven. And then you start looking through this world as though you were blind. Now, what have you found in the world? What do you still expect to find? What have you been searching for in your life? And what do you still expect to get? So the Magid Midovna says, a person can veer off of that path, that materialistic path, and lighten his load. A materialistic life is filled with pressure. You gotta catch up with the Joneses, and there's a constant struggle to maintain or to attain a certain level. And so the Magen Midovna says, if you can veer off that path, you'll lighten your own load. And be happy with the lot that your God has given you. And anything beyond that, don't let it make you upset. Don't let it hamper or hurt your happiness. Be happy with what you do have. Don't be upset when you lose it. It's so interesting. There was a young man who came over to me this afternoon. I was preparing a food package for a family that just had their 10th child. So he looks at me and he says, well, didn't they plan ahead? So I said, they don't need this food. Thank God they're okay. It's just to help. You know, the family... Yeah, it's hard for a woman with 10 kids. She just gave birth to her 10th child. It's hard to prepare food for the whole family, so it's a help. And I could see he was dissatisfied. And a minute later, as I'm still packing up the stuff, I hear him talking to someone on the side of the kitchen. And the guy asks him, those are cool sneakers. How much did they cost? So he says, well, usually they're 900 shekel. I got them for 650. So I'm standing there thinking, okay, 650 shekel on sneakers. I guess he can't. It's a high budget to have 10 kids on 650 shekel sneakers. That's true. If that's the standard you're aspiring to, I understand why he was bothered with the family having 10 kids.
Nice.
It was interesting, right? You know, two conversations, one after the other. The Magen Midovna says there's this load where people sometimes take, and if their goal is a certain level materialistically, then that really gets in their way of happiness. I felt like telling him, you should go for a Shabbos with this family. Go see the happiness in the home. The kids don't feel like they're suffering, so they don't have your sneakers, and they don't have that level of material goods, but they have happiness. This is a guy that, unfortunately, you don't always see him smiling. He's a good person. He's a nice person. I like him. I don't hold anything against him. But he has a certain perspective. And when you have that perspective, so then that's what the Magen Midovna says. Then when you don't have it, suddenly you're upset. And even when you do have it, one's thoughts evolve to the next thing. Now, אבל אם תלך בדרכי ליבך, הלא תנהום באחריתך, כאשר תראה עצמך נהדר כל טוב. He says, it's true that one's heart has a way of being attracted to these things. You walk down the street and you see that guy in his Cadillac and that guy with his iPod, and each guy with their material things, and then the heart does desire it. And if you go that route, says the Magen Midovna, then what's it all going to amount to? Ultimately, a person finds himself without good. Uzmancha behevel machauta. And a person finds that he has sold the most precious thing, which is his time, for nothing, for things that are vain. Volbalzel al tzavarecha, and he's already taken a yoke of iron on his neck. Gam kitazkin lo yasum imcha, and once you enter that yoke, it's hard to get out from under it. Kim yichbad alecha ad yasiro techa molamcha vihodfecha mimamadcha. Because it's going to weigh down until it takes a person out of the world. Ad asher yiru otcha b'chadar mishkavcha hu kivrecha asher karit alecha b'apcha uvacharoncha. And a person ends up toiling to live up to this standard or to attain this standard to the point where it finally wipes him out, and then people just see him, that's it, he's buried, and what has he attained? What are they going to say? He had the coolest iPhone. Okay? Lachen nafshi. Therefore my soul malach lederech mesuchat chadek. Why do you go in the direction that's covered with thorns? Derech hamelech yitbarach nelech. Let's go down the path of the king, blessed be he. El nachala b'li mitzarim. And then we get a path that has no limits. We get a portion that has no limits. Ki im sham adir Hashem lanu mekom nahare nachalei Eden. Because if the powerful one, the potent one is there, so then you have streams, the streams of the Garden of Eden, nachalat shakayim mimoramim. You're entering the portion, the lot of the omnipotent one from above. It's so interesting, this balance where a person thinks he's going to attain happiness one way, when in truth he'll attain happiness the other way. There's a fantastic educator named Stephen Covey. He wrote an excellent book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's interesting how many thoughts he has in that book that are on target with Chazal. One of the things he writes in the beginning is that we're often faced with choices between short-term pleasures and forgoing short-term pleasures and attaining long-term satisfaction and joy. And that formula that he describes is exactly Shlomo HaMelech in Mishlei. And that's exactly what we're learning here. But it's interesting that we live in a world where we feel like happiness is just there. If I have that material thing, whatever it is, that's where happiness lies, when in fact it's the other way around. And what?
You already have it.
Oh, you could have it. You could have it. That's a big question, whether you're willing to realize it, whether you're willing to recognize it. Told you the story about the girl who had her leg amputated? Top. There was a girl who was in her early 20s who had a cancerous growth in her leg, and the doctors saw no way to save the girl without amputating the leg. And they sedated her, they put her under, and they took off her leg. And she was very good looking before they took off her leg. And the doctors wondered how she'd take to herself now without one leg. So the doctor wanted to be around, the doctor who amputated the leg, he wanted to be around when she came to. So he was in the room, and the girl woke up, and she had crutches next to her bed. And after she took a few minutes to get her bearings, she got on her crutches and started going around the room, and she was talking to the doctor, and the doctor stood there and he couldn't believe how calmly she took to the new life she had, missing a leg. So after a few minutes, he asked her, "Are you feeling okay?" So she said, "Yeah." So he said, you seem very calm, given the state you're in. So she said, well, let me explain it to you this way. If someone had $15 billion and they lost $10 million, so that's a hefty loss. But they'd be pretty silly standing there fretting over the $10 million they lost when they have so much else that's left. I lost the big thing. I lost the leg. But God left me with so much. I still have two hands, two eyes, two ears, a mouth, a heart, a brain, another leg. I have a lot of other gifts. So it's a huge loss. But the question is that what I'm going to focus on now? And very often in life, that's the big question that we face. We can always look at what we don't have, at what we'd like to have. And it's true, we don't have certain things. We have certain limitations, and there are certain things that we'd like to have that we don't have. And there's nothing wrong with trying to attain certain things in our life. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, do I think that that's what's going to give me happiness? Or do I realize that happiness is something that comes within? It's a state of being. It's a state of mind. It's not defined by external factors. You guys ever hear of Viktor Frankl?
Yeah, that.
Viktor Frankl. There was a tremendous person. Oh, in World War II. The Nazis were torturing him. And before we continue, let's pause for a minute. And I want to give you a small assignment. Stop and think for a minute if you can project yourself to that corner. If you could be in that corner looking down at yourself. If you can stop and imagine for a minute that you're up there and you're looking down at yourself. And what do you see? What state of mind do you see yourself in? Take yourself out of yourselves for a minute and look back in and think for a minute. If I were there looking at me here, what type of person do I see? What state of mind am I in? What emotional state am I in? The capacity of the human being to do that, to look at themselves from without, is a tremendous strength. And Viktor Frankl was being tortured by the Nazis when, at one point, he asked himself, do I have to be miserable here in the concentration camps? And at that point, he realized that there is stimulus, there are external stimuli, and there is reaction. And in between the stimulus and reaction lies the freedom of choice. Meaning, I don't control the stimulus. But I can control the reaction. This giant thought is not his own. There was a Greek slave who was a top philosopher. I forgot his name. His master was a very cruel person. And his master marveled at the brilliance of the slave. And at one point, the master threw him on the ground, grabbed his leg, and started twisting it. And the slave was lying there, and he said, if you keep doing that, you will break it. And then he broke it. But he had such control that he wasn't yelling, he was talking calmly. And Viktor Frankl started developing the same idea. It's not his own idea. It's the concept that giants throughout history were able to tap into. We are not forced to react to any stimuli. It takes a giant. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky was grabbing the belt buckle when a guy closed the door on his hand. And he knew that if he'd yell, so then the guy would be very embarrassed. He was quiet. The car pulled off, and a few moments later he asked the driver if he could stop for a second. He opened the door and pulled his hand back in. That's tremendous self-control, but it's self-control that can be attained. The Talmud tells us about a rabbi who had to have his leg amputated. And as they were amputating his leg, his son was there to help him out. and the rabbi was a Kohen, and his son was a Kohen, and he told the doctor, wait a second, and he told his son, please leave the house. And his son said, why? He said, because there's a little slither left for them to cut, and when they cut it off, then this limb is defiled, and it will defile everything in the house. You're a Kohen, leave the house, and then they'll finish the amputation. In the days of the Talmud, they didn't have such good anesthetics. But that's the level of self-control a person can attain. What Viktor Frankl developed was a concept that's known as self-awareness. The capacity to project ourselves out there, look back at ourselves and think, is this the way I want to be? And that realization that I do not have to be a reaction to the external stimuli, well, that realization is what carried him through the Holocaust and gave him the strength. He developed it over time. After he realized it, he developed it, and then he strengthened other inmates, and even his guards, even his captors started looking at him and realizing that they might have liberty, but he has true freedom. They could do what they want physically, but he has control of his mind. And they started asking him for lessons. Viktor Frankl went on to develop this idea, but the idea is really a very important one. Because very often we think that happiness is a reaction to all kinds of stimuli. And what Viktor Frankl proved is that it isn't. It's our choice, it's our state of being, and a person can choose to be extraordinarily happy in all kinds of circumstances. We had a neighbor, a few houses down from the Machon. I learned a lot from them. I think I told you guys the story. Yeah, you'll remember it.
I remember all your
stories. His wife was had a growth, and she had one leg she couldn't walk on, and so she bandaged up that leg, and she went to the hospital to get treatment, and she figured she has time in the hospital. What's she going to do? So the medicinal clown came by to try to cheer her up. And she liked what he had to offer, and she thought she could do one up on him. So she started giving him suggestions, and then he said, well, why don't you come and show me? So she said, well, I got a bad leg. I can't walk too much. So they got her a scooter. She put her bad leg on the scooter, and she'd start going around the hospital with him, making people happy. So she spent her dying years. I mean, she was a mother when she could be home. And the last 2-3 years, she was spending a lot of time in the hospital. In between the doctors, she was going around making other patients happy. And they'd look at her, and sometimes a patient would tell her, you know, it's very easy for you to smile, you don't know what I'm going through. Because they'd see her all smiles, they couldn't believe, they wouldn't guess that she had, I don't remember how many little children at home, and she knew there was no cure for what she had. She knew it was just a question of time, and it was. I mean, she passed away. But that didn't stop her from being happy. I think she was probably the happiest person I ever saw. The Magid Midovna tells us, take your soul and focus it. Don't let it be focused on external things. Yes, the world is alluring. The world keeps selling us this load of goods. This is what's going to make you happy. No, you can attain a portion without limits. The way of Hashem is a way without limits. And that's something which is not contingent on the material. The material is a tool. It is not an ends, it is a means.